Hello and welcome to the Travel Light Adventure Doer podcast. My name's Enzo and
I'm Melanie.
This is Melanie. And today we have a fun topic. We're going to talk about something that you are very familiar with and I have no knowledge of.
But you're interested in it.
Very interested in it. Solo traveling. That's what we're talking about today. Your experiences with solo traveling. I'm going to ask you some questions just in case I want to get away by myself and go from there. But, because when I hear solo travel, the first thing I think of is like, is it safe?
Right. I think that's everyone's first question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it safe?
But why is, like, why would people think that?
Yeah, that makes me ask the question, do you feel safe going around your own city by yourself?
Yeah.
Right? Like, would we feel safe walking around in St. Louis, going to the bank, doing normal things, going to a restaurant?
Depends.
Would you feel, yeah, we are in like one of the most dangerous cities in the country, but it's the same thing. Would you feel safe alone anywhere?
One thing that I think may be different than doing it in your own city would be because of the language barriers. If you don't speak the language or if there are a lot of different cultural differences.
Yeah. I have found that I've been to 30 something countries now and it astonishes me how many people speak English.
Yeah.
Like you can get by with English and then a few basic words in the local language. It's great. Learn as much of the local language as you have time for and as you can. And as you go along, you can learn more. But we are really lucky to be English speakers and you can get by on English pretty much anywhere you go. I've never been in a situation where I'm like, oh my gosh, my trip is ruined because I don't speak French.
Mm. Okay. Okay. So let me ask you this. When was the first time you did like a big solo travel?
My first solo trip was I was 22 years old and I had just finished up teaching English in South Korea. I did that for a year. And then after that, I wanted to go on a solo trip because I taught English in Korea. I didn't go to Korea with anyone. I went by myself, but I was supported by a program there and had an instant community of friends. So I don't really count that as a solo trip.
But I mean, you went by yourself.
I went by myself.
For how long?
A year.
Wow.
But I immediately had an orientation where I was with a ton of people from all over the world who were also teaching English. So I instantly had this like friend base. So I was still a little nervous, but going to Nepal after I finished the program in Korea, that was the first time that I officially went somewhere without knowing anybody. And I also had no plans.
Nepal, like you did that after?
After Korea.
After Korea? How long after?
It was right after. So I did some travels in Asia and then I went to Nepal completely solo. And I don't even remember why I wanted to go to Nepal. I can't remember. But I just had this desire to go to Nepal and I booked a 2-week trip there. That was going to be my last stop in Asia. So I booked a 2-week trip and I was going to fly to Nepal and then I was going to fly home 2 weeks later. Spoiler alert, I didn't go home. So I didn't go home after 2 weeks, but we'll get to that part of the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's Nepal. If I'm not mistaken, you said that's where you fell in love with hiking and trekking.
Yeah. That decision to go on a solo trip to Nepal completely changed my life.
Wow. It's a huge accomplishment and like a huge... How old were you?
I was 22.
Wow. That is insane. 22 years old. I mean, aside just from coming from Venezuela, I don't think I've left the country after that. So that's huge.
It sounds really young looking back on it. And it is. I mean, 22 is really young.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just always had this burning desire to see the world. So that's always been with me.
How little you knew back then when you were hiking Nepal. When I saw those pictures I'll see if I can put one up in the video here. You were hiking in like sweatpants.
I had no gear. Oh. So I showed up to Nepal with no plans, and I didn't even know that trekking was a thing. I had never done trekking. I had never heard of trekking. So I literally was just like, I'm going to Nepal and I'm going to see what happens. And as soon as I got there, everyone was like, oh, are you here for trekking? Are you like, what trek are you going on? And I was like, I'm not going trekking. Mm. I don't even know what that entails. I don't have any gear. I'm not here for trekking. I'm just here to hang out.
That's wild.
So I didn't have any plans. And
which is very unlike you.
It is.
You were just young, wild, and free.
Yeah, I guess.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. How do you feel about, with all your experiences that you have, how do you feel about solo traveling now?
I love it.
Yeah?
It's the most freeing experience I've ever had.
Why?
Because, like, everyone loves going on vacation, right? Vacation's great. Doing something that's totally out of the ordinary, seeing new places, meeting new people. And then imagine, like, a vacation that is completely about you. Like, every single decision you make is based on what you want in that moment. It's like you're so present and you don't have anybody else to be like, hey, I want to go to this restaurant. Are you okay with that? No, you go to the restaurant because you want to go there and you have a nice meal, whether it's by yourself or with new friends. But it's completely freeing because you do what you want all the time and you're making decisions just for yourself. And how often in life are we getting to do that?
Yeah.
We do so much for other people and based on other people's opinions. And in solo travel, it's only you.
And it's like you get to be your identity and who you really are and how you truly feel. And with work and your friends and your social settings and social groups, it's hard because sometimes you're known as a certain way and you kind of play that role a lot. When you're doing that solo travel, you can really just be who you are at your core.
Yeah, totally. So. You learn a lot about yourself when you're alone for that amount of time. Mm-hmm. I recommend it to anyone.
Okay. I'm going to do it.
Okay.
I'm looking at Vietnam.
Yeah, I would love that for you.
That would be super amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So solo traveling sounds great. You're finding your identity and you're doing whatever you want to do. Does it get lonely?
There are points where it gets lonely. Yeah.
How do you combat that?
So.
Safely.
Right. So with solo travel, I recommend when you are taking a solo trip, I recommend staying in hostels. Because, and even better if you can get a private room in a hostel. Because then you have this like social environment when you want it. But you can also go to your private room and, you know, get some like alone time if that's what you want. So you have options, but hostels are designed for social, to be social. So there's a lot of solo travelers that go to hostels. You can go there and you can instantly make friends. So you have that kind of net when you get there, but there are points where it can get lonely. And there will be times where you think, I wish I had somebody here to share this with so that I had somebody to talk about it after. And that's one of the few downsides of solo travel is that those are just your memories, which is beautiful, but it's also fun to share them with somebody else at times. So solo travel has its place, but
your memories and your secrets.
Your secrets.
You know, whatever you do.
Oh, there. Yeah. What happens in a solo trip?
Stays. And if you want it to, I mean, you can tell people. But
yeah.
But regarding hostels, though, I mean, can anyone just do a hostel? Because I think just from what you said, you're getting close to that age that hostels maybe aren't that appealing, right?
Yeah.
So
there are certain hostels, though. It all depends on what kind of hostel you book. And I'm going to do a whole podcast episode about that at some point.
How to pick the right hostel?
How to pick the right hostel for your age and for what kind of trip you're looking to have.
Okay.
Yeah. And there's also, it's not just hostels, but there's also co-working spaces now where if you work online, you can go to something like Outsite. I think Outsite is one of them. And then it's like people who are a little bit of an older age group, young professionals who are working online. And
expats,
and,
nomads.
Yeah. And they're also like, it's for people who have jobs, basically. It's like hostels for people who have jobs.
Because hostels, you'd be surprised how many people don't have jobs.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are long-term travelers staying in hostels. So you meet people who are traveling for a year, 2 years, they quit their job, they're traveling the world, they're staying in hostels because it's one of the cheapest options for staying, especially if you're staying in a dorm room. So if you're traveling for a year, you're not really wanting to spend $50 to $100 on a hotel every single night. You're going to run out of money a lot faster than if you stay in a hostel and you're spending $10 to $15 on a bed each night.
Okay. I'd love to do a video about how you pick hostels when you're traveling, as well as how you, how you travel solo safely.
Yeah, that's a whole episode.
Yeah, because
staying safe is a whole episode.
It's, you can't just be young, wild, and free as much as you want it to be, because it is your adventure, but it is an adventure and you have to be cautious and aware of the things that you do. Don't let that take away from your trip, because that, you know, that defeats the purpose. But I think if you were to make a video of, you know, some things that you just keep in mind when you're doing the solo traveling, yeah, it would help a lot of people.
Right. There's a lot of ways that I stay safe while traveling, and I'll definitely make a podcast episode about that. I think it's really important.
Okay. Some drawbacks. I know we talked about a little bit about the loneliness, but what are some drawbacks about solo traveling?
Really, the only ones that I can think of are getting lonely, which is really up to you. You can be around people as much as you want to. You can also decide to, hey, I'm going to have dinner by myself. I just want some alone time tonight. So getting lonely, and then the only other one is just wanting someone to share certain things with. Like, there's a lot of people that I have met solo traveling, and we've had all these experiences together, and then we'll probably never speak again. So yeah, it's kind of funny. But
aside from sharing experiences, you don't have somebody to also share cost.
Yeah.
You know?
But if you're staying in a hostel and you're renting a dorm bed, yeah, that helps a lot with the cost.
Mm-hmm. So it all depends on your comfort level of, you know, some people hate the idea of even staying in a dorm room. Some people love it because it's like just a big old slumber party. I'll tell you what. I don't have a lot of hostel experiences. I live vicariously through you, but I've heard just from your stories, it is like a big slumber party when that also everyone just had like bad chili the night before, because a lot of people when they travel, I'm getting to a point, a lot of people when they travel, their stomachs aren't accustomed to those foods. So you have a bunch of expats and nomads that are staying together that are just like poop in their pants.
So it's a slumber party where everyone has diarrhea.
Yeah, a diarrhea party that people.
This
if we Enzo haven't sold hostels,
this, Enzo is saying this because this just happened to us at the end of our trip in Colombia. We were staying in a hostel, and there were four of us in a dorm room. We all knew each other,
luckily,
but we had two bunk beds, and we all had upset stomachs the whole time
upset
we were there.
Stomachs, diarrhea.
So it was kind of a,
we were taking
a diarrhea
turns.
Dorm.
Yeah, the diarrhea dorm. The diarrhea diaries is what that, what that trip was called.
That's a great name for a podcast.
But it's crazy because we were fine the entire trip. Like, we were, what, 10 days?
Yeah, and we all got sick at the end.
Like, the last 3 days. It was at that last...
Okay, back to solo travel.
Back to solo travel. Anyways. Okay, so if you had to recommend one thing, if someone's thinking about doing a solo travel, what would it be?
I would recommend doing it because if solo travel is something that keeps coming up in your mind as something you want to do, then you need to do it. There's a purpose. There's a reason why that experience is calling you. And also, if you don't have anyone else to go with and you're just dying to travel,
just do it.
Just do it. Yeah. Just do it. And I have a piece of advice for how you just do it, because there's so many things that can get in the way. There's a fear, there's uncertainty, you might feel anxious. You might be a little bit of a shy person and you think, oh, maybe I shouldn't travel because I'm too shy to make friends and you don't want to be alone that whole time. So my piece of advice for people who want to do a solo trip is book the flight.
Book the flight.
That's how I get myself to take solo trips. If you book the flight is non-refundable, sis, and you're going to get on that plane.
Yeah.
And you might be nervous, but you're going to get on that plane and you're going to figure it out. And that's just my number one tip, because a lot of time can go by where you're like wanting to travel. And I hate to see that for people, because you never know when your last day will be. Sorry to be morbid, but you never know what's around the corner. And if you have the ability, the physical ability, the money to take a solo trip, you need to do it now. And the desire. I mean, I'm not telling everyone to solo travel. I'm just saying if you want to do it, you need to do it, and you need to stop putting it off.
Yeah. Yeah. And on that note, when you come back from those trips, I mean, your mind is just open up to so many more opportunities, because you see the world different. You just experience a different culture on your dime, and not just financially, but on your own terms, on your own spirit, on your own everything. So when you come back, you feel like a new person.
Yeah, you do.
I mean,
you learn a lot, you experience a lot. You come back home, this is my experience, and everything is just as you left it. And it's almost like it's the weirdest feeling, because you've changed so much and seen so much, but everything is right where you left it. And it's kind of jarring for a couple days.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you have it. If there's one piece of advice, is book the flight.
Book the flight. Yeah. And just don't let fear get in the way. There are ways, and we'll talk about safety in another podcast. There are ways to prepare yourself to cover all your bases, and you're not putting yourself in any more danger than you are living your life every day at home. Every time you get in the car, every time you go anywhere, it's just living. And traveling is not scary. The world is not a scary place. The world is a beautiful place. And when you travel alone, people look out for you. They take care of you. And you just get to meet the most fantastic people, because you have to, you're alone. If you travel with a friend, you might have the best vacation with that friend, and that's great. You have those memories with that person forever. But when you travel alone, you meet so many different people from all around the world with different perspectives, and it can really change your life. It really can.
Good people attract good people.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'd like to tell a little bit more about the story and what happened on my Nepal trip before we get off. Or do you have more questions for me?
I don't have more questions. I thought we were just going to wrap it up.
Okay.
But
I kind of teased everyone in the beginning about what happened with the Nepal trip. So I had to wrap it up with that.
Okay.
Okay. So I went to Nepal for 2 weeks. And the first couple of days I was really nervous, because I'm a little shy. I'm not super outgoing. I'm not one to like walk up to a group of people and just be like, hey, where are you guys from? So I'm a little shy for that. So I get to Nepal, I'm 22 years old, and I'm staying in a hostel. And the first couple of days, I'm not really meeting anyone. And I'm like, okay, you know, maybe I'll just be alone the whole time. Maybe I'm just going to spend 2 weeks completely alone. And I'm trying to like be comfortable with that idea. So then I get on a bus by myself. I go to a different city that I wanted to go and spend most of my time in Nepal, in this city called Pokhara. I get a bus to Pokhara, and I get off the bus and I'm walking around town and I don't have anywhere to stay. This is so unlike me, but this is what I was doing at that time. I don't have a hotel booked or a hostel booked. So I'm walking, literally walking around with my backpack, looking at different places and just trying to find a place that looked like there were people that might be my future friends. And I'm looking around and I see this group of people at this hostel. And so I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to stay here and maybe these people can be my friends. So I book a night, I pay for my stay, and then I go upstairs and I put my backpack in my room and I come back down and I'm like, I'm going to go be bold and introduce myself. And then I see that those people are gone. They weren't staying there. They were just having lunch. So I'm like, oh, shoot, I'm never going to make any friends. And I'm just on this, you know, this like sad little roller coaster of like, I'm in this country where I don't know anyone and I'm not going to make any friends. And then a couple hours go by and I will shorten up my story now. But I end up meeting, probably a day or two later, I end up meeting a group of three British girls who were around the same age as me. And they were there to, they were studying to be doctors and they were there to work at a hospital for 2 months, I think.
Wow.
So I meet them and we totally hit it off and we go to the Holi celebration together, which is a celebration of colors where they're throwing colors on you and touching your face and whatnot. And that really bonded us. And then we kept hanging out. And then they were like, hey, do you want to come trekking with us? And I was like, I guess. Yeah, absolutely. I need to change my flight though. So I end up changing my flight and stay in Nepal for 7 weeks.
Wow.
I extended 5 weeks. And I went trekking. I did the Annapurna Base Camp trek, which was my first trek. And it was 7 days long. And it was one of the most fun experiences I have ever had. And then I did another 5-day trek with them. And we also went on a safari together. So we just had the time of our lives, completely carefree, no responsibilities, just had so much fun. And now I have a trekking business where I take people on treks around the world. And I'm not kidding. Like this is how solo travel changes your life. You learn things that you never even knew that you could fall in love with.
Mm-hmm.
And then it changes the course of your life. So that's my Nepal story. Started with 2 weeks, ended with 7 weeks. I went back a year later to go to Everest Base Camp and stayed in Nepal another 6 weeks because I was so obsessed with the Himalayas.
And then we're going again next year.
And we're going next year. So that's a great ending. Yeah. Next year is the 10-year anniversary of when I first went to Everest Base Camp. And we're going back with our company Travel Light. So stay tuned for the launch of our Everest Base Camp track. We would love to have you guys join us on that.
That's awesome. That's a really cool story. It literally changed the course of your life. And now you just do group trips.
Mm-hmm.
And you have multiple group trips. You have Sedona. Going to Sedona, Arizona. We're going to Italy to do the AB1. Then we're going to Patagonia. And then we're doing...
Everest. And the Tour de Mont Blanc. And next summer.
Mont Blanc.
That's how the French say it. Mont Blanc.
Mont Blanc.
We say Tour de Mont Blanc and they're like...
Tour de Mont Blanc.
Mont Blanc.
Tour de Mont Blanc. I like to go to the Tour de Mont Blanc. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening and watching, if you're watching.
Take a solo trip.
Take a solo trip.
It's your turn.
It's your turn. And see you next time.
Thanks for watching.
Bye.